Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord. Give God glory and honor because he is worthy to be praised. Amen. And glorified in our lives. I've been on fire since, well, I'm always on fire, but yeah, 5 o'clock this morning. But no, I just, you know, grateful to God, like Josh said, for this, you know, for this ministry and for everybody and for the people of God and for what God is doing in the earth. And I just, you know, thank God for that, that he's allowing me to be part of it. Amen? Amen. And I want to talk today about sharing the love of Christ. That's going to be the topic today. We're going to talk about sharing the love of Christ. And everybody has their Bible. I'm just going to ask you to turn to 2 Peter right quick, all right? 2 Peter chapter 1. Josh was already up in there, so I knew I was in the right place, all right? 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 4 verses, but first let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this time. God, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your awesome presence. God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is here, reigning and ruling supreme. God, I pray right now that you would hide me behind your cross, that they may see all of you and none of me, God, that they may hear all of you and none of me, O God. Touch the hearts of your people today, O God. Let the fire of your anointing be present here today, that we may do all that you have created us to do. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody there at 2 Peter? Okay. I have the Amplified, so it's going to read just a little bit different. And it says, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received, say, I have received, obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves and through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace, God's favor, and the peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. You ever think about that? When somebody says that the grace and the favor of God be upon your life, that all that is included in that, all that is necessary, spiritual prosperity, perfect well-being, freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflict, be multiplied to you. And full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has been bestowed, which means it has been given, it has been offered, it has been presented, which something is bestowed upon you. It has been presented. Amen? All upon all of us, things that are requisite or suited for life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory in excellence and virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed upon us precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them that we may escape by flight from the moral decay of rottenness and corruption that is in this world because of covenant and lust, and become sharers and partakers of the divine nature. Amen? It says that we become sharers and that we become partakers. And from this word that we have to understand that everything that God has done in us through Jesus Christ, that we can do and duplicate within this world. Why? Because the favor of God, the blessings of God are upon our lives as believers. Amen? But if we're going to share the love of Christ, that word share means that you have to partake or you have to participate in the sharing. It's not going to happen just because you say that I'm a Christian and I go to church. You have to participate in this sharing of the love of God. Amen? It also means that you receive, that you give, that you yield. And I said that bestow means that you give, that you offer, and that you present. That we have to present the love of Christ to the world. Present the love of Christ to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, to everybody that you come in contact with. And I'm going to challenge you today because when you leave this church, you're going somewhere. Some of you are going to the mall. Some of you are going to work. Some of you are going to be around family that don't know Jesus. You are going somewhere out in this world. And I'm going to challenge you today to share the love that you have received. How many received Christ in their life? Let me see that again. How many? So I see everybody in this whole building, praise God, has said that they have received the love. So if you have received the love, that means that you have all things, not just some things. You have all things that pertain to life and to pertain to godliness. This has been bestowed upon you, has been presented to you, has been offered to you. You have it. Because the end of this fifth verse says that we have become partakers of his divine nature. When you said yes to Jesus, you became a partaker. That means you got part of it in you. Whether you exercise it or not is not the question. The question is that you have it, and that's what God's going to hold you accountable to, because you have it. Now the question becomes, am I going to use what I became a partaker of? Through the cross, through the blood, through the forgiveness of sins. Boy, my hand is burning. Somebody's going to get it today. Jesus. All right? We are partakers of the divine presence of God in our life. It doesn't matter where you come from, what family you come from. All right? And I know a lot of us think that we come from the Adams family. All right? But if you read Matthew 1, the genealogy of Jesus, there's a whole bunch of hooked up people in Jesus' family. So you are not alone. All right? Rahab the harlot and all that was in Jesus' family. All right? So you ain't the Adams family or got all them family problems. And all. We all do, okay? Get over it, because you still got work to do. All right? Because our job is to share the love of Christ. But you can't share what you have not received. And that's what you have to understand. The Bible says that Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received, which is us, because everybody put their hand up, he gave them the power to become the sons and daughters of God. All right? See, sometimes we got to look at ourselves differently than what we profess. Because everybody says they're saved, but your lifestyle don't line up with your salvation. Everybody says, I'm a Christian, but your lifestyle don't line up with what comes out of your mouth. See, because if I'm a son and I'm a daughter and I was created in the image and likeness of God, there should be something, that godliness, that should be reflected in my life. Because an image is just a reflection. All right? He said we are made in our image and we are made in our likeness. But you can't reflect what you don't know. Amen? You can't reflect what you don't know. That's why a lot of us profess, because we don't know God and what God is like, and we're acting out of our own nature, even though we have become partakers of his divine nature. All right? Because our spirits get saved, but we have to learn to manage this flesh. Because you ain't getting no new body. What you got is what you got, all right? You ain't getting no new ones. You know, a lot of guys, we want to be buff. You ain't going to get it. A lot of sisters want them little, you know, shapely Coke bottles. You ain't getting it. What you got is what you got, all right? Not that you can't work to it, but we have to learn to manage this flesh. We have to learn to manage our actions. We have to learn to manage everything that's in our life. Why? Because Christ is the example that we follow. And God would not leave anything out of your life. It says everything. Peter was talking to the church. He said that grace, that favor, be multiplied in your life. God's about multiplication, okay? That I want to multiply myself in your life in order for you to spread the love of Christ. You know how many hurting people you go by every day? But the reason why, of all the prejudice in the world and everything else that is in this world that all of us have been trained up under or acknowledged at one time in your life, that we look on people according to that perception. We don't look at people as a soul to be saved. And that's what we have to look at, that everybody you come encounter with is a potential soul to be saved, a potential person that I can pour this love that I have received. Let me pour this love out on you. And I, like I was telling in the class today, that I work in the carpenters union. Well, I'm the superintendent, and it's corporate. It's a union job. So I'm around all these guys with all these filthy mouths, filthy language, everything else. I used to be in the carpenters union and everything else myself. But I am still able to share the love of God, no matter what their perception is, no matter what they know, what comes out of my mouth. Okay, I don't care what comes out of their mouth. And I was telling about my boss. He cusses all the time. And I was sitting in his office, and me and him were talking. And I said, you know, Bob, I said, his name is Bob. I said, you know, Bob, the Bible says for every idle word you shall give an account. And I said, by your word you shall be justified, and by your word you shall be condemned. And he lifted his head up like that, and he said, where's that at? I said, in Matthew. I said, you should try. He said, oh, I got to look and see what Matthew has to say. See, you can share the love of God because you have the power of God living inside of you. And we are talking about the kingdom and the kingdom principles, but a lot of times we don't see ourselves as God sees us. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, the reign and rule of God is now in the earth, and guess what? It's working through his church. But you have to see yourself as that I got the God power, all right? We're supposed to be containers of the anointing of God. It says that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, regardless of what the world is trying to throw at me. I have all the things that pertain to life and God and the godliness of God. So that means if I have all things, no matter what you're trying to put on me, I don't need that. Because I got everything that I need. Amen? And that's the way you got to see yourself. I don't care what the world is trying to push on you through TV, through music, through movies, through every other medium that you're being attacked. I don't need that. I got all I need. You need what I got. But see, if you don't see yourself of any value and you don't see God's kingdom of any value, then you're going to value what the world has. Amen? And then we're going to be doing the same thing that the world does. We're going to be spreading lies. We're going to be spreading gossip. We're going to be spreading hatred. We're going to be spreading everything except for the love of Christ. Except for the love of Christ. And I'm no different from you. I'm just maybe a little bit bolder or whatever. But you know what God delivered you from. You know where you were when God showed up in your life. You know the situation that was in your life the same way I do when you had that encounter with God. And that's what you're supposed to share. You know why? Because you can look in the eyes of people the same way when I go in them jails and I go into them streets. I can look right in their eyes and I know exactly what's going on. Why? Because I had all the symptoms. It's like sickness. When you had all the symptoms, you know exactly what it looks like. And you got it too. How do you know? Because I was just like that. I was just like you was. And that's why it's so effective in ministry for me in the Carpenters Union, because everybody knew me before God got a hold of my life. And now when they see me, now I'm able to share the love that was placed in my heart. That's what we're sharing. Okay? It's not the hell message and condemnation all the time. It's about the love of God. The world needs love. That's what they need. Why? Because they're so battered. They're so bruised. They're getting it at home. They're getting it at work. They're getting it in the streets. They're getting it from wherever they are. But you know what? When we show up, here comes the love train. Here comes the love train. I don't care what other train you use. You need to get there. You'll get on board. Look at Gary. Go ahead. Join hands. Come on, son of love. You remember that song. And that's what we got to do. We are the love train. And what stop? Where are you pulling up to? With your love. All right? Because John 3:16, and we hear that so much, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whomsoever shall believe shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Love is both an attribute of God and a description of his being. All right? An attribute, that's a characteristic, all right? And if we are creating the same image and likeness of God, then love should be a characteristic of our being each and every day of our life. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance is, I can still show love, even when you're unkind to me, all right? In our home group, we're going over the Sermon on the Mount, where pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you and say all kinds of evil against you. That ain't an easy thing to do, is it? That's not an easy thing to do. But because of who I am in Christ, I'm still able to show the love. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right? Because when that fist rolls up and get ready to come out, the strength of God's coming over and said, put it down. Or when you're getting ready to fix your mouth, right? To talk with the tongue of men and not of angels, your mouth goes shut, or it should go shut. Let me put it that way. It should go shut. And when it talks about turning the other cheek, it's not only the physical slap. How about when somebody says something That is a lie about you. How about when people are plotting and planning against you? How about when somebody's slandering your name? How about when people are doing all types of stuff, condemning you and calling you everything except the child of God? How do you still respond? Do I still share the love of Christ, or do I act like the world? All right? Because you got to understand, God, he alone is the epitome of divine love, the source of all true love. God is the source of all true love, okay? Not just all that love, all right? Because that has got us all in a lot of trouble, all right? Or maybe I'm the only one. It got me in a lot of trouble, all right? All right? Because there's three types of love. The eros love, erotica, eros, that's why you got all that other stuff. Philos love, which is brotherly love. Philadelphia called the city of brotherly love. And then there's agape love. That's God's love, that unconditional love, that I love you in spite of whatever is going on in my life. I love you in spite. Parents, when it comes to your children, I don't care who they are. Yeah, they might not be walking right. Yeah, they might be doing things they're not supposed to be doing. Yeah, they could be doing drugs. They could be in prison. But then you still got to love your children. See, because that's what got me back. When I messed up, when I was in prison, that my parents, my family never stopped praying for me. Because a lot of times we were just acting out the manifestations of the world or what we got into you. And you need to speak over your children that my children is a prophet. My children is a son of God. See, we need to stop saying that you're never going to be nothing. You're never going to amount to nothing. Because we're the ones that put them on that path. Because the Bible says death and life is in the power of your tongue. That's why you got to be careful what you speak over your children, even when you're mad. Even when you're mad, because once that word is released, words are seeds. You can't take it back. All right? And there's a bunch of you right in here that got scars in your life right now from people saying negative and nasty things to you. But see, that's what the love is all about, because it doesn't matter what somebody said to you. What is God saying about you? He said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Precious are my thoughts towards you. Because if you could number them, they'd be more than the sands on the earth. That's how precious you are in God's eyes. That's the things that you need to think about. That's the things you need to share with other people. I don't care what your parents spoke over you. I am now going to speak something different over your life. And allow the word of God to change their life. There's so many things that you can do. And his love is unconditional and consistently seeks the highest good of the one who is loved. You can't say that you love somebody and then you don't seek the highest good that's in their life. Even when they are messing up. Even when they are acting crazy. Even when they are not doing it. Because God still seeks the best in each and every one of us. Consistently, God is always seeking the best with his love for us. He's always seeking the best. So if we're going to share the love of Christ, we have to understand that I got to get like God. My love has to be unconditional. I am consistently seeking the highest good of the one I say I love. All right, because you don't have to go there, but Romans. If we go to Romans 5 and 8, it said that God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, that Christ went to the cross for us. We didn't even have our mind on God. We wasn't even thinking about God. We heard about God, but you didn't care about what you heard. But God's grace and mercy and his love was so powerful that he's going to send Christ to the cross before you even had a thought of even coming towards God. And that's what we have to have, the love for people that we see. And I don't know why we get so, how can I put it? How we get so, say that again? Product? No. How we get so bewildered about the way that people act. That's what sinners do. A heart without Christ is going to make you cuss everybody out in your house. A heart without Christ is going to make you abuse everybody that's around you. A heart without Christ is going to make you say and do things that you would not normally do. So I don't know why we freak out when people start acting like that. They don't have the heart of Christ. And that's what you have to understand. We sang that song from the inside out. God's an undercover cop. He goes from the inside out. See, because we live in a world that is so superficial. How pretty you are, how smart you are, the clothes you have on, the cars that you drive, the house you live in. That means nothing if your heart is full with corruption and everything else. All the things that the world, the trappings of the world. I was just watching this thing last night talking about restoring the American dream. Evidently, somebody didn't tell him it's a bust. All right? They talk about restoring it. You can't restore corruption. You can't restore idolism. You can't restore sin and all that stuff. Christ can only do that. And that's what we have to share through the love of Christ. God's love was clearly demonstrated at Calvary when Jesus died for all of our sins. See, love demonstrates itself. Love demonstration means to prove itself, to show itself, to confirm itself. That's what God did on the cross with Jesus Christ. God proved his love. Let me show you how much I love you. I'm going to bankrupt heaven for you. Because that's what God did when he sent Jesus to the cross. Bankrupt heaven just for you. Just for me. He proved his love. And that's what we have to do as a body of believers. Prove that the love of God is operating in my life every day. And most of all, like Josh was saying, okay, even when things are bad, that's the test. When things are bad, when all hell done broke loose in my house, all right, can I still demonstrate the love? Can I still demonstrate the love when my children are being rebellious? Can I still demonstrate the love? Can I still extend my hand when I just want to fire out on them? In a marriage relationship, when things are stressed, can you still demonstrate the love that Christ had for the church, for your wife, husbands? And wives, can we still respect our husbands when the pressure is on us? See, that's the test of our Christianity. See, the test ain't when we come in here and everything's hallelujah because he's up in here. So everything is supposed to be right when we're up in here. But the test is of when you leave here and somebody cuts you off right down around the corner, what comes out of your mouth? But we say we've just been in the presence of God. Or when your kids just knock something over that is so precious to you. Or they just spill milk or something like that. Where does the love go? See, because we're supposed to share what I have received. And the thing of it is, have I truly received what Christ really died for? And I see so many people that are so broken, so down, so out, and are within the body of Christ that can't forgive yourself. What a slap in God's face. What a slap in God's face, for real. Okay, can we just be real? What a slap in God's face that you could say, well, I can't forgive myself, and he's done forgiven it all. See, it didn't cost you nothing, but it cost him everything. Because we have to stop saying that salvation is free, because salvation was not free. Salvation cost God everything that he had. Because when things are free, we just take them and throw them. How many times you be walking the mall, somebody give you something free? And before you can get to the other end of the mall, where's it go? In the garbage. Why? Because it's free. There's no connection. There's no effort. There's nothing through it. And as long as we keep saying salvation is free, then we're going to continue to live a lifestyle that's lower than what Christ died for us to live. Why? Because it was free. But when we realize that you've been bought with a price, when we realize that part, that I've been bought with a price. See, sometimes you got to look at your life and say, listen, this life has been bought with a price. This ain't no cheap life. You might look at me cheap, but I know this life is not cheap. This life I live is not cheap. God paid with it all for me. So you ain't going to treat me cheap, and I'm not going to live cheap. I'm not going to live below myself, and I ain't taking second best just for you. When I know each and every day that the love of God is pursuing the best in me. That's the way that we have to look at ourselves. Why? Because that's what we receive. And because God first loved us, we ought to love others as well. Because he loved us first. It was him. He was the one It was God's initiative. He had the plan of salvation. Christ implemented it on the cross, and the Holy Spirit empowers it in our life every day. All right? We are the sheep of his pastures. That's what the Bible says. God was the one that initiated everything, and that's the point. But sometimes we get so stuck on self that we forget that he was the one that did it all for me. He paid a price he did not owe, and I owe a debt that I cannot pay. I owe a debt. We all debtors. Paul said, I'm a debtor to Christ. We're all debtors to God for what he has done. And the way that we show our appreciation and our gratitude is that we share what we have received. We share the love that we have received each and every day of my life. No matter what I encounter, I'm going to love you in spite of it. And you know how angry that makes people? When they bless you out real bad and you smile and say, bless you. Then all them demons start, man, I don't believe in God anyway. I don't care if you bless me. I love you, brother. I love you, sis. And then they just go crazier and crazier, and I just keep loving them. All right? I remember I was in the jail, and I was ministering, and this guy came in, and he said, see, when people don't know scripture and they take it out of context, they act crazy. So he came in and said, you got to stop telling people that God loves them and this and that. He said, because God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. I said, all right, you're right on that. I said, but do you know the reason why God loved Jacob and he hated Esau? And then his eyes were like, see, because one thing to quote scripture, another thing to know what you're talking about, all right? And his eyes got like this. So then I started with all the love things. God so loved the world, you know that, and God demonstrated his love towards us. And I was just doing the same thing I'm doing right now. And he said, stop yelling at me. Because whatever was inside of him was manifest. Stop yelling at me. I said, I'm not yelling at you. I said, but God does love you. And he went storming out of that room. And them guys got all upset. And I said, listen, don't even worry about it. See, another thing I'm going to tell you. When you're out here sharing the love of Christ, expect for the enemy to start some mess with you, all right? But as long as you stay on the page of love, the same way that guy ran out and never came back, that's the same thing that's going to happen to you. They're going to run, and they ain't going to come back. See, because the enemy can't stay in the place when all that love is being poured out. See, the enemy ain't going to stay in your house when you're loving on one another. The enemy's not going to stay in your marriage, in your relationship, when you're truly loving on one another, when families are loving each other. He can't stay there because he has no, oh, God, help me. There you go. Either one, okay? But he has no relationship about love, the true love. He was in the presence of God. He knew everything about it, but he decided that he knew better than God. He decided. And God said in Jeremiah 31:3, he said, I love you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness have I drew you to myself. See, God ain't the God that's going to beat you up, even though he will put it on you. Because the Bible says the Lord chastens those who he loves. Okay, so don't think that it's just to love God and I can get away with everything I'm going to get away with. No, because God's going to come after you. All right? But he said with love and kindness. With an everlasting love. We're just singing that song, Everlasting. Right? Your light will shine. Everlasting. God's love is everlasting. And he said, with love and kindness have I drawn you to myself. It was the love of God that was pulling you through your parents. It was the love of God that was pulling you through the prayers of the church. It was the love of God that was pulling you each and every day. Away from them things that were keeping you trapped. Away from them things that are keeping you bound. And that's what we have to understand. 1 Corinthians 13, and this is the last scripture I'm going to give you, because it says that love never fails. Love is kind. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Believes all things. Hopes in all things. Endures all things. See, but we don't want to endure nothing. We just want the love boat cruise. Give me the Caribbean. Don't give me the Pacific or the Atlantic, Lord. Just the Caribbean where the waves are this big. God said, no, I need you in the Pacific and Hawaii where they get them 20-foot waves for a while. So I could teach you to endure some stuff. It wasn't that Jesus didn't know about the storm. He's the one that created the storm. When he told them to go to the other side, he knew exactly what was going on. He went to sleep. And they went waking him up. Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? Right? He rebuked the wind, rebuked the waves, and then looked at them and said, rebuke them. After he rebuked the wave, he rebuked them. Oh, you of little faith. Never forget who's in the boat with you. You didn't just come to Christ and he stepped out of the boat. He's in the boat with you. But because of his complete confidence in God, he was able to go to sleep. All right? And I always say, because Psalms 121 says, the Lord of Israel never slumbers or sleeps. So no matter what's going on in my life, if God's going to stay awake, then I might as well go to bed, right? You might as well go to bed. If he's going to stay up, ain't no need of me staying up, right? Stay up worrying yourself all night for what? Love. Love. Does God really love me? We're always doing it. Does God really love me? And the answer is, yes, he does love you. And how much does he love you? Gunned down, people getting shot, people going to prison, people abusing their children, people doing everything in this world because we want to stay behind these walls and be silent. I said I'm going to challenge you today. He said, share the love of Christ. Share it. Why? Because you have it. And if you don't have it the way the Bible says it, then you need to get it. You need to do whatever you have to do, whether you got to crawl, whether you got to cry, whatever you have to do to be able to share the love that this Bible says that was given to us freely. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely you give. And not just the church folks and people that get on your last nerve, okay? And I'm sure we all got them. I got people get on my last nerve too. All right, and people that get on your last nerve in your neighborhood. And people at your job. The people that you encounter. Or you say, oh, God, here they come. And how many got them? Oh, my God, here they come, friends. They're the ones. All right? They're the ones that God wants us to pour the love out. Pour the love out. But first you got to see the price that was paid for you. First you have to see how special you are in the eyes of God. First, you got to see that you're worth everything in the world to God. Everything. You're that pearl that God was willing to sell everything. You're that pearl that was found in the field where the owner said, I need to buy that field so that pearl don't get away. You're that pearl. And I don't care what you've done in your life. The blood of Jesus covers it all. Past, present, and future. That's how the extent of love that God has. And my prayer today is that this church will rise up, each and every person, to extend love to this world. Because if we're going to win the world for Christ, we're going to win them through love. That's the only way. We don't win them nowhere. They done heard all the sermons. They done heard all the evangelism. They done heard all that other. But we haven't seen the demonstration which Romans says. When are you going to prove your love for the people? When are you going to confirm the love to the world that is supposed to be inside of us? So today when I pray for people, if somebody needs to pray to be prayed for, I'm going to pray for real that if you have never been touched by the love of God, that God will touch you in that place. That no matter who you walk up on, because see, with me, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I mean the bank, my wife will tell you. She think I'm crazy. It doesn't matter where I am. Okay? Children, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how bad you smell or how bad you think you are with your bad language. That the love that I have will overpower everything that you're getting ready to throw at me. Because that's love, man. You know, Jesus, they told Jesus, you born of fornication, you going to tell us, the Pharisees? Jesus didn't have this great walk where everybody just, oh, it's Jesus, everybody fall on the ground. They challenged Jesus, and they're going to challenge you too. But Jesus knew one thing, the love of the Father. He prayed for his disciples. He said, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you would keep them from the evil one. See, the prayer has already been prayed. We just got to be willing to step out. The same way he said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed. See, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus said, I have prayed, Peter, that your faith fail you not. And once you've been restored, strengthen your brothers. And I see a whole bunch of restored people in this house the same way I'm restored. But how much strengthening are you doing to your brothers? How much strengthening are you doing to your sisters? Or are we allowing the enemy to become the accuser of the brethren? Nobody said we were going to be perfect. Nobody said that we're going to dot every I, we're going to cross every T. But one thing God did say is that we are to love one another. When Jesus took that towel off, he said, I gave you an example and a command to love one another. Go ahead, man. So today, I just want to pray for people, because I know there's people in this room who have been hurt by love. Family, people have been abused, all types of ways, mentally, sexually, abuse, all types of other things, and you think that you're not worthy of the love of God because somebody else has violated you. Pray for their forgiveness, because probably nobody ever told them about the love of Christ. But it's all about the love of God, and you can't give what you have not received. And it's not to put nobody on the spot or whatever, it's to put you into a place where that stuff no longer affects you. The memories don't affect you no more. The dreams don't affect you. The sight of them doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect me anymore. I'm serious when I say that. There's nothing in this world that really affects me. People think nothing ever happens to you. No, I got problems just like everybody else. Problems just don't have me. All right? I have situations just like everybody else. The situation just doesn't have me. And like I tell them guys at work, you're allowing life to do you instead of you doing life. Jesus said, I have given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And that's what you need today. You need the life of Christ flowing through you, regardless of how bad the pain is. It's time to lay it down.